gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Teco News. My name is Monty Rossetti. With the midterm elections coming up this November, we focus on our local elections. And on this episode, we have the pleasure of speaking to Board of Education candidate Gabriela Lopez. Now, you may be familiar with her name. She was originally elected to the Board of Education back in 2018 and was even the president of the board until she was recalled earlier this year. On this episode, we talk about how she dealt with the recall, the current state of the board, and her future plans as a candidate once again. All right, I'm here with I'm hoping we can call you a friend of the show, because now you've been with us three times. Gabriela Lopez. Gabriela, first question, most important, how are you doing today?
Today I'm feeling really excited. I'm positive. It's the first day of school, so we're seeing just energy across the city. It's always an exciting time when students get to meet their teacher and prepare before that, especially just everything we've gone through. So today especially has been a really positive, nice day, nice feeling in the city.
And can you remind us again, what age group are you working with, so that we can kind of, at least for myself, I can kind of relate? Like, I remember being really young and being very excited. And then sometimes when I was older, I wasn't the best student, but that's for another episode. But yeah, what age group are you focusing on?
Well, that's good to know as well, since I've shifted after being elected to the school board and having worked with elementary school. So I've been a public school teacher of third, fourth, and fifth grade, so mostly upper elementary. And after that transition, having to resign to serve on the school board, I now have been working with older students. So these are graduate students who are pursuing their teaching credential, who show the same level of excitement and then also same level of exhaustion, depending on the time of year, just like my students would. And many of the strategies that I implement with them, since I'm working with multiple subject teachers, is directly related to what I would do with my younger students. So it's really nice to be able to share that creativity throughout, regardless of the age that I'm working with.
So you're coming with this wide spectrum of experience of teaching, which is great. And we are going to talk eventually about your decision to run again for the Board of Education. With this experience of yours, I think, you know, that's a plus. But let's first start with what has happened already. So earlier this year, one of many recalls that we've experienced here was the recall of three members of the Board of Education. You were one of them. How have you been since? Because the last time we talked was, I think, late last year before the recall happened. So how was it for you in that moment? And then how have you been since? And I do want to lean into the mental aspect side of it, because I remember last time we spoke, you were in a pretty good place, you know, kind of like, I'm committed to do what I'm doing and what happens, happens. So I think obviously it's very important, especially for people that are in the position that you're in. How has the mental side and just in general, how have you been since the recall?
That's right. I do recall my approach to or response to the recall was, it's, you know, it's out of the question that my attention is not on our schools. And to think of having to create and undergo an entire campaign, raising money to beat out the millions poured in to take us out, felt like something that I couldn't carry because it would take away from my responsibilities as president of the board. So that was actually a step I took to take care of myself, to continue to hold the work that I was committed to doing. Unfortunately, the outcome was not one that I wanted. But I also recognize that it, when working in special elections, that tends to be where voters are. Many were did not participate in the elections like they would in a general election. So it is giving us some insight. It's giving us an opportunity now to respond to that. But to your question about how I've been since, You know, that night was really painful. And I was surrounded with many supporters, many teachers, parents, even students who were just committed to our work and were also in pain because of the results. But it gave me an opportunity to take a step back. And since then, I had wrapped up my work on the board. I did everything that needed to be in place before having to exit the position and have focused on what brought me here. So in many ways, I've had months to reflect on my work, on myself in this work, what I want to do in education. I actually was recently admitted to Stanford in the PhD in education program. So I've always known my path has been in this world within education. And like you mentioned earlier, I do have a broad perspective. I do have tons of experience in a variety of fields, including prison education, arts education, bilingual education, of course, which adds to why our campaign is strong in the field of candidates who don't have that experience. So during these months, I've been able to take that in again and fall in love again with the work that I'm doing, especially since I get to teach teachers and often teach their students so that they can see me model those lessons and understand the strategies that we then talk about and understand the concepts around them in class.
I think another thing that we kind of want to talk about is, you know, since the recall, there has been a series of events that have happened with the Board of Education. So I wanted to ask you kind of what's your opinion? There was the situation with Ann Hsu, who had a comment about students from Black and Latino families. What's kind of your analysis of what was said then? And then also, you know, what would you have done in it? Say you were on the same, you know, board with her, what would you have done to kind of correct the ship? Because now it seems like there's this whole issue again of the people currently in the Board of Education aren't really thinking about the greater scope of students.
That's right. And it's partly why I did decide to run, because it felt like this Board of Education is not ready to address those concerns. I know that part of the reason why many people had issues with the way I approached what was happening at the Board of Education was because I brought up things that were difficult to work through, to understand, to have discussions around, particularly around racism in our schools. And because of the pandemic, of course, there are many fears that have arisen. There are so many tensions that we were working through. I understand why it developed into what it was. Ultimately, when we're talking about the comments by Commissioner Hsu, I fully see that this is rooted in her beliefs. This idea that families of Black and Brown students aren't committed, aren't available, aren't caring of their children's education. And that's, of course, not the case. I come from those families. I am a daughter of immigrants. I understand the barriers growing up, which is why I became a teacher. So, but it never meant that my parents, who couldn't connect with my educators, who couldn't talk to them because they didn't speak the same language, it didn't mean that they weren't as committed in my success. And what I see is this person is either just not understanding that reality or firmly believes this about Black and Brown students or students of low income, low resources. And that is, and that's the inherent issue. We cannot have a leader who is making decisions on behalf of our district who firmly believes that. It's not the first time that an example of this has come up. That her bias has shown. And the reason why there was such an uproar is because the community doesn't want to see that at the Board of Education. I know that there was a really intense meeting that happened on August 2nd in response to these comments. And I can see that it was an attempt for the Board of Education to admonish and to show that this is not where the district stands. But ultimately, you don't want someone who has that understanding or that idea of our students leading our district. And as a Board of Education member, it's also our responsibility to address that.
And how would you make sure that all communities are being, you know, treated equally? I mean, I know, you know, this is obviously not a normal situation of somebody a first time running as a campaign. And this is like, you know, explain to us what your campaign and what would happen if you win, because you already did win and you already served in the position. But how would you make sure then to keep your message strong? Just in case down the road, I mean, again, if you win and there's another recall, then it's just like, what are we doing here? But if like, what would you do to make sure that your message comes across to the wide spectrum of the city of San Francisco to make sure that, you know, there isn't any kind of community feeling like they aren't being represented in somehow, some way?
And in fact, that's part of the work that I was able to do on the Board of Education. I was completely inclusive of our communities. I ensure translation services. I translated documents myself. A lot of the work that I spent doing has to do with educating our communities about what we do. We have to understand that many people in our city might not even recognize that there is a Board of Education, what the Board of Education does, what we have the power to do and put in place. And I spent a lot of time sharing that information with people. As a teacher, I have the ability to educate. I want people to understand and learn about our processes, and I want them to know how they can advocate. So that message is what's driving our campaign now. It's really ensuring that people know we're giving ourselves an opportunity to respond to the recall. This is the only campaign that, after being recalled, is now rerunning. It's giving people an opportunity to have the discussions about what's been going on with the board, what we want to see shift, what we want to bring back after being removed from our seats. And it's including people again. I can't tell you how in the past 5 days since we filed, how many people have shown excitement, have been saying they haven't felt included at the Board of Education. I know many of the decisions recently by Board President Lamb has been to take away public comment opportunities or take away some of the meetings that allow other opportunities for people to share their ideas with the board, with the entity that is deciding on all of these things. And that removal of a way for people to connect with decision makers is not the step we want to take. A lot of the work that I did focused on that. And if you couldn't come to me, then I would be out in the field talking to communities.
And yeah, like you said too, there is this whole issue that we've seen because we've experienced three recalls really in the span of a year. And the only one that was able to pass theirs was obviously the statewide one with Governor Gavin Newsom last year. And yeah, that's kind of the scary thing, the trend that we're seeing here where it's like, there is the voter fatigue as well. Obviously, starting with the top level, with what was going on with former President Trump. I can't believe I just said his name on this podcast. I might delete this part later. But obviously there's a lot going on, and not only like in the voting pool, there's so much going on in our life on a daily basis. So you're right when it comes to the Board of Education and a recall election in the month of February when people were probably like dealing with other things and wanting to escape. Yeah. Sneaking that under the rug is definitely the way that it seems like for some people to get their message across. So now for this general election and say, you know, you win this next election, what would be your top priorities? And getting what you've learned from, you know, your first time at the Board of Education, what would be your top priorities this time around?
That's right. I do want to say having had that experience on the board helps me enter with that understanding, that perspective, that knowledge that helps us get started right away. In many ways, entering, I want to get us back to a space where people are, in fact, a part of the work that we're doing. the priorities that our campaign is focusing on is the school funding piece. There's a lot of resources out there, especially in our city, that hasn't been directly funding our schools. And I want to get on top of that. When we were going over the budget and seeing our deficit, we realized not only are there budget priorities that don't fully focus on the classrooms and what hits and touches students, there are also a lot of habits that we've had as a school district that didn't work. So on top of pulling back to ensure that funding is prioritized in the classroom, there are also things that we can edit and fix so that more of the funding is focused on that. That then means we've been dreaming of a school district that can offer a wide variety of services. So on top of the academic instruction that we want to ensure they have, we also want arts access. We also want STEAM access. We also want opportunities for students to be involved in different types of physical education. And that requires funding. So we really need to have a broader discussion after having dealt with the deficit about what that could look like and dream. As educators, we know what would be a creative, exciting classroom day. And that those are the conversations we really should be having. I also want to focus on college prep, college readiness, and expanding the types of post-graduation opportunities that students want to be a part of. It might not be necessarily heading into a community college or a UC or a Cal State, but there are plenty of opportunities in the workforce that our school district already has connections with and can help students see what they want to do after they leave SFUSD. Ultimately, we want our students to leave having a great experience within this school district and having a wide variety of options that best fit them. And our school district has the ability to let them explore that. So having that expansion within our high schools and helping them recognize what those options are.
Talking about high schools, one of the other things that we saw revert back to was the situation at Lowell being a merit-based school once again. Is that something that you want to dive into again on the second time around? Or how would you deal with that situation, if there's a situation to deal with there at all?
That's right. And I know that's a good question. I'm a firm believer that we should have as many opportunities as possible, especially for our Black and Brown students who may want to attend that school. And when they went back to the old system, what they set up and said was, although this is an illegal process, and although we have seen that this is expanding opportunities for a diversity of students, we're choosing to keep it the way it was. So it's important that people recognize that people understand that. I know just because of even what I've mentioned around high schools, that Lowell is one high school that we want to focus on and ensure is meeting the needs of the students who have entered recently and all of the student population, but also putting a lot of attention on the other wonderful high schools that we have, the issues that may be happening in those high schools, and ensuring that our conversations are district-wide.
All right. Lastly, going from that heavy question, I'm going to go to a kind of an open question here. Election, no election, whatever happened in the past, whatever's going to happen in the future, you're somebody that seems very committed to, there's a goal here to get done, and it's to focus on the future for all the students, no matter what socioeconomic class they come from, no matter where, you know, what heritage they're from, any of that stuff. How can we continue this kind of mission that you've started as a member of the Board of Education, and how can we kind of get involved for our listeners? How can we avoid having distractions and make sure that everyone kind of sticks to the mission?
So what I try to tell people as an educator myself and someone who understands learning, there are a wide variety of access points that students need met in order for them to successfully and comfortably learn in a classroom. And I say this because I think people who want to be involved should understand that this is education is beyond any single school district or school entity. It is a citywide approach that we need to take in order to ensure that all of our children in San Francisco, all of our students, are successfully going through their lives, successfully and joyfully. So there are many people who might not have background in education, but they do have expertise in transportation or healthcare or access to food. All of these areas, especially housing, which is a big issue in our city, all of these areas have to be met in order for a student to enter a classroom space and comfortably learn. And that is partly many of the issues that we're suffering through. And often it's not a school district's ability to resolve those problems. We don't have access to the departments in our city that have those resources, that have those connections, but we do have the trust of our families to then share what's out there, share the resources, share the opportunities they have in order, in case they want to apply for housing or get access to healthy foods or find a way to safely get to school. So once we start grasping our minds around this citywide approach, correcting the relationships that we have between the district and the city, connecting with people who are experts in all of those areas, I think we'll really have the strength to move our children in the right direction. But I say that repeatedly because it can't be on one school district system to hold all of those problems. And it certainly can't be on one teacher or educator to gather all of these materials, gather all these and understand these resources that are available to help their students. But they're the ones who will be seeing it directly, and they're the ones who will be understanding it the most.
Totally. No, thank you so much. And again, it's funny because I think, you know, it seems like we at times this last year lost sight of what was really important, and it was all kind of, you know, personal concerns. But it didn't really seem like the focus of the children was at hand for a lot of what was going on in the last few months here. But again, that's a topic that we'll see keep on evolving here in San Francisco. Gabriela Lopez, candidate for Board of Education, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to stop by again.
You're like a third co-host for us here.
As the podcast of the community newspaper El Tecolote, we think hearing from you is important. So please leave us a comment, rating, and share our podcast to other members of the community. Thank you.